This is the Trenches Technology Podcast with your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. This episode of the podcast, we're continuing to celebrate Horizontal Directional Drilling's 50th anniversary by focusing on the industry. Joining me for this episode is Rob Criss, President of Benjamin Media. Many of you know Rob as he's been in the trenches industry for nearly 30 years. But let me give you a quick introduction. He joined Trenches Technology shortly after his father, Bernie Criss, created the magazine in 1992. He worked in most facets of the company, such as circulation and conferences, spending the bulk of his years in sales and marketing. In 2012, Rob became president of Benjamin Media, which publishes 8 construction magazines and has a conferences division and a slew of other media components. Having said all that, one thing has remained constant: his close relationship with the HDD industry and drillers. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode: his observations of the industry, as well as looking back on the popular HDD rodeos of the 1990s and early 2000s. We're also going to touch on the HDD Academy, a respected educational tool organized by Benjamin Media with Arizona State University and Dr. Sam Ariaratnam. Side note, this year's Academy takes place on June 10th and 11th, and there's still time to sign up. Go to hgdacademy.com for the details. In my 20-plus years with Benjamin Media, this marks the first time I've had a sit-down formal interview with Rob. He offers great insight on the industry and the growth of the industry, and we're going to touch on the question whether there will be another HDD rodeo in our future. Here's my conversation with Rob Criss. Well, welcome, Rob, to the Trenches Technology Podcast. I'm glad you could join us today. This is going to be kind of strange. I've worked with you for, since 1998. I don't think I've actually interviewed you before.
It will be interesting, Sharon. It'll be fun. I agree with you 100%.
So why don't we just start off and you can share with us your background and how you came to be at Benjamin Media and what your role is today.
It actually predates Benjamin Media a little bit, Sharon. At one point in time, my father was at American Augers working as a consultant, and he worked through some acquisition periods there. And I had the luxury of being a summer intern at American Augers for 2 years. Basically, I drove a tow motor. I counted lots of buckets of bolts and screws. Just recently, I saw a post from Jimmy Barbera, who was Jim Barbera's son, talking about his days at American Augers. Jimmy and I both spent a lot of time in the shop. Considering who we were not exactly loved in the shop all the time sometimes, because we were the sons of people that were higher up in the organization, which was kind of funny to me, but it was a good time. I learned a lot. I raked out a lot of wet concrete. I cut up a lot of steel. And then I went on to school for a little bit, and that was a little bumpy ride for me a little bit at the time. And Bernie had asked me to join Benjamin Media, or at the time it was only Trenchless Technology. He had published 2 issues of the magazine, and he asked me to join. We had a staff of 4 people at the time. We were publishing 6 issues of Trenchless Technology a year. At that point in time, the career continued on in the publishing industry, and we've expanded, Trenchless Technology considerably. We went from 10,000 readers to over 40,000 today, with even more traffic on a monthly basis with websites and e-newsletters and everything else that the media world brings to the table today. The publishing industry has definitely changed a lot over the years within Benjamin Media. And I think you could definitely attest to that too, Sharon. It's increased your workload a little bit, and it puts a lot more out there, and we reach a lot more people, which is really kind of fascinating. So over that time period, I went on and got a marketing degree, because that's the media marketplace. And that's, that's kind of important to understand. And today I'm the president of Benjamin Media. We have 9 publications to date. That was the history. I know a lot of this is about drilling. Somewhere in that interim period, you and I both were very immersed in the directional drilling market, when we did have a publication that was directional drilling, as you recall. And it was a lot of fun to work on. So that's kind of the background.
But you served a lot of different roles. You worked in circulation and conferences, but the bulk of your time before you became president was in sales. And you sold to the entire TT industry, whether new install or rehab. But I noticed, and you always seem to have more of a closer relationship affinity for the HDD segment of the industry. Am I correct in that? And if so, why is that?
Good question, Sharon. Not that I don't love the trenchless rehab market also. Drilling goes back a long ways. We at one time were putting on things called trenchless field seminars. And it was a week-long event where we would go out to, you know, we would be in California. We would rent some fairgrounds property and we would spend a week or a half a week in the classroom and then a half a week in the field. And I think the drills always fascinated me. They were such interesting pieces of equipment when you would go out into the field and you'd see them operate and you'd think, wow, you can really do that. Like you can push this little pipe in the ground and come up on the other side of a road. Then as that advanced a little bit more, we started to specialize in drilling seminars too. And I really got to know the manufacturers extremely well. There was a real core group early on. I could reference them, Frank Cannon with Baroid, Mark Van Howling with Vermeer, John Archambault with McLaughlin, Siggy Finson and Mark Lucci at Digital Control. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Randy Peterson, who at the time was also at Digital Control, but now has moved on to the fluid side. And I wish I could name some more people that really, they took me under their wing and taught me all the aspects of drilling, from tooling to fluids to fluid management to, you know, you name it down the line. I'm forgetting Ron from Aplex. I even learned about the pumps on the equipment and everything else under the sun. So that interest in drilling continued to grow. And watching the advancements in drilling was even more amazing because at one time I had the luxury of working on an umbilical cord machine that had hoses running everywhere. We had to stand on electrical ground mats in case we struck something. And that was a small machine, like what John Mercer was talking about with Utilex or Flomol, little 1-inch diameter drill pipe that would just snake through the ground. And yeah, I spent a lot of time at that time digging holes with a shovel too. So I began to appreciate drilling even more from an installation perspective.
Well, I know you forged a lot of good relationships with the guys too in the drilling market that you're still friends with today.
100%, Sharon. I think that's what's really cool about drilling. It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood because we always feature women in drilling too.
Absolutely.
And it's a very unique brotherhood. Drilling horizontally in the earth, it takes some creativity. You have to manage your fluids accordingly. And what's amazing amongst this group of guys is they really shared things extremely well to help advance the industry. And that's what's really cool about it. From contractors to manufacturers to designers, they really work together to make this to make this marketplace what it is today.
Now, you know, we've been celebrating HDD turning 50 this year in 2021, and you've been in the industry nearly 30 years as well. How have you seen the HDD industry growth during that time? What are your observations of it?
The growth in the market has been very interesting over time from, you know, the first kind of quote unquote big river crossing from Martin Cherington's day to small diameter installations for fiber optics and for electric. And the advancements in the equipment really have paired up within those scopes of what drilling serves, from oil, gas, to fiber, to electric. The acceptance of drilling was phenomenal. I think I listened to Dr. Sam's HDD 50 podcast and him talking about how the acceptance grew across the marketplace. And drilling was used for a lot of different methods. I've even heard of drilling being used for tiebacks on bridges in order to clean out, you know, so there's very unique applications.
I mean, it served, they had like a lot of growth in the late 90s, hit a little snag, I guess you would say, and bottomed out in the early 2000s. And there have been some hard times for directional drilling. And they seem to come out stronger than they were before.
Yeah, that the dot bomb had a huge effect on fiber optic work in the late 90s and what occurred there. Everybody was tooled up and geared up and ready to roll. A lot of equipment was going out into the marketplace and really the bottom did drop out. The market did rebound The market went into the water industry. It went into gas distribution. It got more involved with gravity sewer installations. And, you know, utilities and municipalities were becoming much, much more aware of horizontal directional drilling and how it could really help, you know, their distribution ends of marketplaces. So there was still a heavy focus on distribution. On the transmission end for pipeline crossings and things like that, the market stayed consistent to some level and maintained. So the bigger size rigs are a little less economically affected as the smaller side rigs. Today, I can see, you know, with the advancements of 5G, we all see drill rigs all over the place, nonstop anymore on the sides of roads, doing gas line installations, doing water line installations. It's pretty amazing what drilling has gone to.
Let's talk a little bit about the HDD rodeos and how they came about. I mean, when I started at Benjamin Media in 1998, beginning of 1998, the first one was already on the books, meaning you were planning for it at the end of that year. And I was put on the committee to help, and I had no idea what directional drilling was at the time. I was like a month in, and I was learning on the fly. But how did the idea for the rodeos come about? Because there really wasn't anything like it, looking back on it. I mean, there were trade shows, but it was a trade show. It was an educational forum, but you had this drilling competition component added in. So how did all that come about?
There were some dealer competitions that were taking place, and you know, a group of us were together one day talking about it, and you know, the market was growing. So we came up with this concept of the HDD rodeo, and it was probably one of the funnest things that I've ever done, quite frankly. It was an absolute blast from the planning perspective, developing the rules, developing the regulations, you know, adding time to their scores because it was like a real job, you know, situation for these drillers. And it really took off. And unfortunately, it was kind of at that precipice of the dot bomb situation that occurred. Uh-huh. So the market did go pretty soft, you know, post 2002 is essentially the time period there. But the rodeo, you know, 200 feet of a bore, they had to install pipes, so they had to have proper fluid usage. We did not give them points that we marked to check their line and grade. One of the coolest things that came out of it is we did have a bunch of the telecommunication damage prevention groups involved. The rodeo was run in an extremely safe manner. We had safety checklists and those types of elements, so it heightened the awareness of being safe, doing proper utility locates. Having the damage prevention guys involved, we were measuring the drillers back in the 90s by inches on this installation. I hate to say it, some of the guys were off by a couple feet in some points on occasion, so it was a considerable amount of time. And even if they were a foot off of their points, these telcos were pretty impressed with HDD, and it really did help to advance the specking of drilling for a lot of these marketplaces. So they said, oh, wow, these guys are, you know, a lot more accurate than, you know, what we really anticipated. We weren't quite sure how accurate they were because we actually gave them visible sightings of the pipe that was installed. And the most amazing part, the last rodeo we had, where we essentially had a tornado in the field one day, a torrential downpour. One of the worst factors was that we very rarely had extremely good weather for the drilling, rodeos. It was always a little bit dicey outside. And, you know, everybody participated. These crews just hammered through it. But the last rodeo that we had a Danish crew that was 100% accurate on their entire bore, which we had never really had happen previously. And the amazing part about it was they were probably the slowest pilot bore in the entire field at the time. So they were very precise and very accurate. And it proved the point. Drilling just had come such a long way from an accuracy perspective.
I remember that crew. They were dead on. But what was the overall objective for these?
That impressed the judges. Like everybody was amazed at that situation.
Oh yeah, it was pretty cool. No one knew what to do.
the objective was obviously to have an event for the drillers because, you know, they deserved it. There were a lot of them out there. It was amazing. You know, we were in Georgia right off of I-75. we actually had two or three crews that drove by the event and pulled in and registered the day of the event because they're like, what are you guys doing here? The overall objective was to showcase that aspect. And I think a lot of the equipment manufacturers took advantage of being able to meet these crews, see what they could do in the field, talk to them about equipment advances properly, you know, and seeing some of these technologies. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we weren't drilling rock at the rodeos, but we were drilling in some fairly difficult soil conditions at time. But, you know, the objective was to showcase the horizontal directional drilling marketplace.
I mean, like we were saying, they were a hit. I mean, the first one, we had no idea how many people would show up. I think we had like five, we ended up having like 500 attendees for the rodeo. I forget how many crews we had. That was in what, Grapevine, in the mud in Grapevine, Grapevine, yes. Texas. But they were successful and we had like a lot of international interest in them. We had international attendees, obviously, but we had international crews coming from Poland. And like you said, the Danish crew. I mean, what was it about this event that drew such a worldwide interest, do you think? What did it tap into?
Well, it goes back to, I think, your original question here where I like, you know, it was my attraction to the HD industry. And my attraction was that brotherhood and sisterhood amongst these drillers. And, you know, siblings have a tendency to compete with each other, right? I mean, I know this as my, you know, with my siblings, and there's this competitive level amongst the brotherhood and sisterhood, you know, it's almost like a fish story that they talk about, mm-hmm. you know, I caught a bigger fish than you caught, or I did a better shot than you shot, or I put 1,000 feet in this week. You only put 500 feet in this week. So it was really an honor and a talking point for these guys to say, hey, we went and competed with each other and look at this. We got, you know, we placed way up high. So, and I think for a lot of the drillers that did really well at the rodeos, it moved on into their work too. I mean, they knew it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the attendance continued to grow with each one. I mean, I think we had close to 800 to 1,000 toward the end there. I mean, it was, and they were, the international crews that came, they would hear stories. They were on the airplane going back and the airline crew announced it to the rest of the cabin that they won the national or international directional drilling rodeo. And we had media coverage too, which was kind of cool. We had newspapers come out and do stories on the industry, which pushed it out further. You know, people knew about directional drilling. We had TV cameras come out and film us, which was not surprising, I don't want to say, but we were surprised when we invited them and they came and they're like, what is this? What event is this? What are you guys doing here drilling?
Yeah, because it's cool equipment. I mean, it's cool stuff going. You know, it's like, wow, really? You guys, you know, now they realize all of a sudden they've got, you know, new gas line to their house. And they're like, I didn't even see any crews out here doing any work and tearing up my front yard. Oh, that's how that works. Certainly the local news coverage was phenomenal when we got it on the TV stations and, you know, newspapers all over the place. So it was, it really did do a lot in making... No, I shouldn't even say that. Drilling was cool before the rodeos, but it made it even cooler.
And we had some cool sites too. The Texas Motor Speedway was one of them.
Yes, Texas Motor Speedway.
Buried that bug, that car bug. I'm not sure if that's what the name of the car is. I called it a bug. It was a Volkswagen, right?
Yeah, Barbco had a whole system. They were going to back ream a Volkswagen bug down into the hole, which was pretty amazing. It was, people were fascinated. Unfortunately at the time too, that created a huge pit of drilling fluid. And one of the guys was challenged to jump into the pit of drilling fluid and he did, he chose to go ahead and do it. So I won't forget that part either.
I don't remember that.
Trying to get bentonite off your clothes. Drillers know that too.
Yeah. It's
virtually impossible sometimes.
Well, with the HDD market really being strong the past 5-10 years or so, are there any thoughts in resurrecting this event?
There's
a spot.
there's been talk about it. There's a good possibility. I think the market has changed a little bit and advanced. A drilling competition is always, you know, a great thing for that reason, because these guys do really like to compete with each other and prove that they can do this or they can do that. I think there might be something on the horizon. Let's wait and see.
Uh-oh. I'll wait for the meeting invite. to talk
about. You got
it. But switching gears a little bit, now, like 7 or 8 years ago, you came up, you partnered with Arizona State University and Dr. Sam Mary Ratnam, and you came up with a new event for directional drilling, the HDD Academy. What was the idea for that and how that came about? I mean, that's been a successful educational tool for the industry to have. How did that idea come about?
You know, about 8 years ago, as you said, there was that time frame where there was somewhat of an imbalance and there wasn't as much training for the HDD marketplace because it was a little bit soft. I can't say it was terrible, but it was a little bit soft over that time period. The market rebounded, as we well know, and we just talked about that too. And something needed to be done. We needed to go back into a training mentality. Today, this is a little bit more of an advanced training mentality. Back in the mid-90s, you know, a lot of the events were basic type events. And today, the training is more advanced. So it does appeal to owners. It does appeal to government agencies in the sense of, and I think I had listened to Sam talk about it, we've had a number of different federal groups that have attended the HDD Academy because it gives possibilities for access to areas that they previously couldn't access, be it environmental regulations or what other types of situations they may have with what the ground conditions are. So the HDD Academy is a little more advanced type of an event, but it definitely brings together these core manufacturers in the marketplace that still to this day definitely share things about their products and their equipment and how, and they still continue to work together, which is really fascinating to me on the manufacturing side too, to help advance the marketplace. Ultimately, yeah, you're drilling blind underground. We want this to be safe, consistent, you know, good for everybody. And that helps the market growth. And that's where the progress has come in for HDD.
Well, what makes the HDD Academy so different than the other educational forums out there? I mean, I know from our standpoint, it's not a sales pitch. It's, you know, they're not going to go in there to sell equipment and pitch equipment to these guys and attendees who come. But so what makes it different from the other forums?
There's a high level of experience at the HDD Academy from the attendees to the presenters. And that's probably one of the biggest points there. I, you know, if I added all the years up, I'm sure we'd be in hundreds of plus years of HDD experience. So we get these guys together and they all have different situations with ground conditions, without, you know, temperatures outside. It's like you put a driller from Arizona talking to a driller from Northern Canada and, you know, they're amazed at what these guys have to do to get their rigs ready, you know, for the next day. Or down, you know, down south, it's a different, they're like, wow, we didn't even think about some of that stuff. But I think that experience level at the HDD Academy is what is really critical component for it. Obviously, working with Dr. Sam, his years in doing annular space studies and a number of different elements to HDD, and really, you know, being that kind of proactive figurehead out in the market is awesome with what he does for HDD.
I mean, how would you describe today's HDD market? I mean, I don't know if you want to describe it as the pandemic aside, I mean, because they continue to work throughout the pandemic. But how would you, what words would you use to describe the HDD market today?
That's a tough question, Sharon. What words would I use to subscribe or to describe the HDD subscribe? See, there's my publishing background in saying subscribe versus describe. By the way, on that note, everybody, be sure to subscribe to Trenchless Technology when you get a chance.
Absolutely.
yes. How would I describe that? The HDD market today, I'm seeing more advancements coming into the marketplace, especially more on an equipment side. And this is allowing these drillers to be able to be more to plan within the scope of the projects up front. You've got things like direct pipe that have come into the marketplace in the last few years. It's a mix of HDD, primarily HDD, but a mix of, you know, two technologies. We have different elements of mapping systems today, different GIS systems. It is becoming more technologically advanced than it has been historically. Mm-hmm. Where we can get data points for everything and we can really track this to a precise situation. You know, DCI has come out with their TerraTrack, which is going to, it's an over the surface sort of mapping system. I'm not super advanced in it. You look at tooling innovations. We look at a number of different innovations that have come about. You know, one of the bigger ones was the Lavalley safety side on the breakout mm-hmm. tongues. I mean, that was critical. There were a lot of accidents that were occurring back then. So this adherence to safety, efficiency, those are probably the biggest things in HDD today. And the efficiency aspect is really those data points. Like, it's not just the application of drilling. It's what that installation is at the back end too. What do we know about it? And these guys are very in tune with that today.
What do you see going forward for the market? We're kind of winding down lockdowns. Let's put it that way. Restrictions are easing up, obviously. But where do you see the market heading going through this pandemic and going forward?
Well, the 5G is the big talk in the HD marketplace with being able to, we have to have backbones in the ground in order to support the 5G networks. So that's a big talk. We know historically some of this fiber is old also. So the life expectancy of some of that fiber optic cable that's in the ground needs to be replaced. Well, you know, be it that, you know, hopefully it does use a lot of directional drilling, you know, in order to do that replacement, and they're just not all ducks and getting pulled in. I think the energy market is a critical component to HDD today as the political situation tries to figure out where we're going in regards to our energy consumption. We have a lot of different options. We're seeing drillers working on solar sites in order to tie in, you know, different utility lines. We know drillers work within the scope of wind farms in the energy sector. Obviously, pipeline crossings are critical for HDD. And we know that a lot of the gas companies have made a real conscious effort of upgrading all of their lines. And some of that work is actually winding down as of right now, but it's going to continue. I mean, there will still be that continuation of, you know, upgrading the distribution lines for natural gas. So the marketplace is definitely, it's diversified itself. Mm-hmm. You know, water is an essential marketplace and drilling is accepted. Sewer work is still being done. Gravity sewer shots have been a challenge for drillers, but there are the handful out there that specialize in that. So serving the utility marketplace, it is solidified its position. And we will have ups and downs in different areas.
Well, I think what we've learned this past year is how important, like you mentioned, fiber is and telecom is to what we're doing today, and what role and directional drilling plays a huge role in getting that fiber network, those fiber networks to the people who need it.
Yes, 100%.
So I have to ask you about this movie that Sam Ariratnam introduced me to. And I think you've heard of it. I want to say you've heard of it too. The Hummingbird Project, and how directional drilling actually plays a key role in this movie. And it's a real movie, people. It's not some documentary. It's a Hollywood movie. Well, have you heard of it and have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen it. And yes, I have heard of it. It definitely plays a part in the movie. The movie's a very, I'm not going to give up what, you know, what the whole emphasis to it is. It's a little sad too, quite frankly. There's a little sadness to the movie overall, but it's pretty interesting that Hollywood took drill rigs as this technology, you know, back in the 90s, and this was the dot com, you know, the craziness that was going on with everything, that they really did come in and showcase horizontal directional drilling. It did entail putting fiber optic in the ground. And I forget what the cities were, but I think it was running from Omaha to New York City, basically. To give you a little insight into it, the twist was a little bit in regards to getting financial data a little quicker than the next competition. So it had to show the project of actually, and that was a physical fiber line. And the best of my knowledge, it's a true story too.
Yeah, Sam, he said it was, I asked him, I said, did it portray directional drilling correctly? And he said, he definitely it did. He goes, but we were surprised that they made this movie using directional drilling equipment and nobody heard about it in the industry at all. He goes, because there was a DCI locating system being used and you saw the different equipment manufacturer stuff being used and nobody knew this movie was being made.
Yeah, you well, yeah, both rigs, Vermeer, Ditch Witch, Showcase rigs. I'd say, yeah, it was pretty accurate. There were some shots that were maybe a little little questionable, but but that's Hollywood for you, right?
Yeah, so two thumbs up. You give it a two thumbs up review.
Yeah, I give it a two thumbs up review. It's well worth watching for sure.
Okay, finally, I'm just curious. I think I know the answer to this, but the way you excitedly talk about the directional drilling industry, but what is it about directional drilling that keeps you so hands-on in it and so excited to talk about it?
That's fun. Good question, Sharon. As you, as you all know, I hit a lot of markets here at Benjamin Media, and I still have that underlying passion for HDD for sure. And I think what really is, you know, as of late, there have been some really cool advances in the market. And I think it's come of age in that sense that 10, 20 years ago, you know, let's get it done. Let's fit, you know, let's do this. And today it's now let's do this in such an efficient, proper manner. From fluid management, as you well know, you know, in the early days, you know, and today probably there's still some of this still goes on, but contractors are so much more conscientious of their fluid management on job sites, and they know to spec that into their jobs too. And even better yet, the owners are realizing, hey, this is, you know, part of the process. This is part of the system. It's not just, you know, that final piece of pipe in the ground. I have to be conscious of what this overall job entails and what it takes. And I think that's why I'm still fascinated by it. It's still pretty damn fascinating that, you know, Michael's just recently had the Project of the Year award, and it was a 13,000 foot intersect that they hit spot on. It's, you know, it's a 20 inch line. It's environmentally sensitive. We know it's, you know, they were conscious of their surroundings and conscious of everything to go on, but to hit spot on a 13,000 foot crossing, you know, two drills coming, you know, from both sides of the river, that's pretty damn impressive. And it really solved an issue. You know, the owner wasn't quite sure what to do about it at the time. And I think that's the fascinating thing. So drilling, yeah, definitely keeps me, you know, engaged and focused. I mean, it's such cool stuff. I mean, we have an electric rig coming into the marketplace here in the US recently, right? And I'm not gonna, you know, go there. And we have, you know, there's still talk of autonomous rigs, and that is coming into fruition, where you have these drill rigs that, you know, we can basically, I don't even want to know if I want to call them drone rigs, but you know, that's that, yeah, that could happen one day. So it's pretty fascinating technology for sure.
And there's not many HDD meetings in our company that go by that you don't poke your head in. There's no secret HDD meetings in our company, because Rob knows about them. He comes in. What's going on?
Yeah. I hear somebody say directional drilling in here. I want to step in and sit down for a little bit.
Well, that wraps up this Trenches Technology podcast. I want to thank Rob.
Hey, real quick, wait, don't you put that on pause yet. I got to give Sharon props. Sharon has wrote a wonderful article on the HDD market in the 50 years. And I encourage everybody out there to go read this article, and hopefully you can tune into this and we can keep growing the HDD industry. Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks, Rob, for joining me today. And to learn more about what's happening in the HDD industry, check out our latest issue of Trenches Technology. You can find it in your mailbox, inbox, or online at trenchestechnology.com.
This has been a Trenches Technology podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the trenches industry, go to trenchestechnology.com/podcast.